We're all used to giving out a bit of personal data to get into our financial accounts, social security numbers, the city where you were born, and so on. This is where our money is, right? But a growing number of financial institutions are asking for something else, a sample of your voice. Rachel Miro of KQED's Silicon Valley desk explores whether that's a good idea.
I'm going to say right at the top that this is an AI-generated version of Rachel Miro by 11 Labs, reading her tracks for this story, because this makes the point that AI voice cloning has gotten really, really good. But I'm pretty darn close.
Okay, that's enough. You don't sound that much like me, if I say so myself.
But I'm pretty darn close, and I'm getting closer with each passing month.
Yikes! Anywho, during tax prep season this year, I had reason to call tech support for a couple of financial institutions, including Charles Schwab. Before I could get to a human, I was prompted to provide my birthday and a voice sample so I could be enrolled in their Voice ID program. Just under the button to activate Voice ID was a video promising me a bright, shiny future.
Our Voice ID service is one of the fastest and most convenient ways to securely identify yourself over the phone. No more pins, no more personal questions. When you call us, just use your voice.
I haven't clicked the activate button yet because I figure if Schwab's cybersecurity AI is improving, so are efforts to hack it. James Lee is chief operating officer of the nonprofit Identity Theft Resource Center in San Diego. He says Voice ID appears to be winning out over other biometric markers like fingerprints and facial recognition, at least when it comes to banking. That's because, he says, it's relatively easier to capture a person's voice compared to other biometrics.
It defies logic on one hand. There are certainly concerns. Because, as we've just talked about, it's easy to replicate someone's voice.
Which leads me to wonder why we aren't all a lot more worried about unauthorized access. After all, our financial data is arguably our most sensitive data. But Lee says bankers and such have to try something new because the data we've been using to log in with for the last 20 years...
All of that data has been compromised. Our social security numbers, our driver's license numbers, where we live, our phone numbers. You know, that's all readily available.
Lee tried to assuage my anxiety by pointing out that most of us don't have a big vocal profile on the internet. But I'm not so sure. What about celebrities? Or podcasters? Or journalists like me? Or really anybody who posts videos on social media? Lee counters that most hackers like to hack at scale, and most of us don't have that much money in our financial accounts.
Identity criminals don't like to do things that are difficult. They like to do things that are easy, that they can repeat them, and they can do them at scale.
But if I'm not that fat a target for hackers, the financial sector as a whole is. On the plus side, financial institutions know that, and so do the many federal agencies that regulate them.
We're going to need AI to defend against AI.
Deborah Guild, chair of the Financial Services Sector Coordinating Council, spoke at an event a few weeks ago that brought together representatives from government and industry to talk about the threats from AI.
We as an industry need to mount a coordinated defense. We have to get better and faster at sharing actionable insights.
In March, the U.S. Treasury Department released a report after conducting in-depth interviews with more than 40 firms of all sizes, from global too-big-to-fail financial institutions to local banks and credit unions. The report promises that industry-wide standards for generative AI-powered ID technology are coming soon.
If you ask Rachel Miro, they can't come soon enough. I'm Generative AI, KQED News.
No, get back in the box, you. I'm Rachel Miro, really, KQED News.